God laid a message on my heart this past week, and I feel it's the message for this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, it's going to be found in Exodus 17. Exodus 17, starting with verse 8, and I'll ask you all to stand for the reading of God's Word, please. Exodus 17, starting with verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning that you would please anoint this message. Your word has already been anointed, it has been, for all of eternity. I pray that you'd please anoint me this morning as I, with my feeble efforts, my feeble words, try to deliver the message you have for us this morning. I pray that you would please help us in a special way to get what it is out of this message that you would have for us this morning. I pray that you would give us open hearts and open ears to hear the message. And God, for everything you do, we'll praise you and thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray these. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm still in Bible school, and they try to teach us, you know, if you're going to be a preacher, the thing you need to do is find three things. So there's three things I'd like to notice here this morning. The first thing that I'd like to notice as we look at this passage of Scripture is that there's always going to be an enemy that's fighting for our souls. We see that the children of Israel, they just come out of Egypt. God just delivered them out of the hands of the mighty Pharaoh. God called Moses in the wilderness. He came back to Egypt. We know of the 10 plagues that happened there in Egypt. And he brought them, then he delivered them out of Egypt. He brought them to the edge of the Red Sea with what seemed like nowhere to go, but God was just getting started. God was just getting started. But this morning, I'd like to remind us that when it seems like we've been brought to the edge of the Red Sea, when it seems like we've been brought to the edge of the ocean, God is just getting started. As they were there on the edge of the Red Sea, God tells Moses to hold out his hand, to hold up the rod over the sea, and he parts it for them. Now we see that God opens up the sea, and he allows them to cross on dry ground. Now this is something that I've found fascinating. If you would imagine with me the nearest lake you have around here, I'm not familiar with the area at all, but if you'd think of the nearest lake around here, and if you're standing on the edge of that lake, and that thing literally splits down the middle, just like this aisle right here, and there's two walls of water. Now, what I see is I see this cavernous pit that just goes down to the other side. Because it's a lake, it's deep. You can't really see the bottom, you can't tell how deep it is. But to me, I imagine that it's very deep. Now, the waters are parted, and let's just say you start walking down the middle of that. Walls of water on both sides. Now, to say what you would see, I honestly don't know. To me, I imagine an old car laying there, someone's bicycle. But then I also imagine these fish swimming by. And actually, I saw a picture not long ago that if Moses and the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea in today's age, I feel like the children of Israel would have out their cell phones taking selfies and all that stuff. And that was a nice little picture I saw. Anyway, but if you could imagine that, imagine crossing that with walls of water on both sides. To me, I imagine that the ground would be a little bit wet and that your sandals might get stuck in the sandals, if you're wearing sandals back in their day, they're probably wearing sandals. But they would probably get stuck in the mud. But to me, the most amazing thing about that is that they crossed on dry ground. God takes care of each and every detail this morning. Once they had safely crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army decides, you know what, we're going to be a part of this miraculous story that God's writing. They may not have said it that way. But as soon as they cross, as soon as they start to cross the Red Sea, they are a part of God's miraculous story that he's writing, but in a very much different way than what they had intended. And can I tell us this morning that the enemy of our souls, he's very much a part of the story that God is writing for us in our lives, but it's in a very much different way than what he wants it to be. After they cross the Red Sea and God delivers them from the hands of Pharaoh, we find them wandering in the wilderness, and it's not long after that that they meet up with the Amalekites there at Rephidim, which is where we find this morning's passage that was read. Now, I did some research on the Amalekites, and this is what I found. The Amalekites, they were descendants of Amalek, who happened to be a grandson of Esau. And they were a fierce nomadic tribe that lived in the desert region of the Dead Sea. They made part of their living by making raids on other settlements and taking treasures that they found. But they killed for pleasure. They didn't kill just to kill. They killed for pleasure. And one of the greatest insults that you could make to an Israelite was to call him a son of Amalek. So when the Israelites, they entered this region, the Amalekites, they saw this and they thought, wow, this is a great opportunity for both pleasure and for profit. But when the hostile tribe, they messed with this people, they messed with the wrong people, for they messed with a people that was being led by God. For this band of Israelite slaves to defeat such a warlike nation, it was more than enough proof that God was with them. He was on their side and fighting for them. And can I tell us something this morning, that the same God who was with the Israelites delivered them out of Egypt from the mighty hand of Pharaoh, who brought them through the Red Sea, and who also delivered the Amalekites into their hands, is the same God that's fighting for us this morning. Let's not ever forget that. So in every battle and every trial and temptation you go through, God is there. He's fighting for you, and he will help you through it. The second thing I see here, is that at some point or another, we all need help. We see here that Moses tells Joshua to choose out some men and to go and fight the Amalekites. And this is the first time, actually, that we're introduced to Joshua in the Bible. So while the men of Israel, when Joshua chooses the men, they go out to fight. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they go up on top of a hill and watch it all unfold. Now, as Moses is standing up there, whenever he holds up his hand, the rod of God in his hands, Israel prevails. But we see that when he lets down his hand, the Amalekites, they prevail. It's just at this point that that Aaron and Hur, they get a rock and they set it underneath of him. And they go on both sides of him, one holding up one hand and the other hand. And they do this until the victory is won. Now, folks, if I may this morning, it has to be the same way for us spiritually speaking. We have to gather around those that are hurting, those who are tired, who are weary from the battle, and that soul that feels like they can't go on anymore. We have to gather around them and hold them up in prayer, lift up their hands until God brings about the victory, and he will. It says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Not only do we have to hold each other up in prayer, but something I see more specifically in this passage of Scripture is we have to hold up our leaders in prayer, those who are over us. When God called Moses to be the leader of the children of Israel at the burning bush experience, God called Moses to be their leader. He was their leader. God chose him. In 1 Timothy 2:1-2, it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all those who are in authority. Now, to me, when I read that, it kind of convicted me in a sense, because personally, it's been a lot easier for me to pray for this president than it had been just a year ago. Not that I didn't pray for him. I prayed that he would, you know, get saved and maybe change a few policies, but we're not going to get into all that. But it's true. One thing that we need to remember is that those in authority, those who have position over us, we need to pray for them and lift them up before the throne of God. And that was free, so anyway. We see the importance of holding each other up in prayer, but more importantly than that, we have to hold up our leaders. It's important to encourage them, to share the load, clean the church, sweep out the church bus, give them property to hunt on. I knew that would ring a bell down here. But the most important thing we can do is pray. We need to pray for our leaders and make sure we're holding them up. And that brings me to my last point here, which is the importance of holding them up in prayer is that the victory can be ours. After Aaron and Hur, they held up Moses' hands, the Israelites, a tribe of slaves, mind you, a tribe of slaves defeated the Amalekites, a warlike people who killed simply for pleasure. The Bible isn't specifically clear on how long Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, but we do see that they were fighting an entire army of Amalekites. And that's not something you can just do in 15 minutes. I guess nowadays you can drop a Moab bomb on them and it's a few seconds. But anyway, back then they didn't have that. So it couldn't have just happened in 15 minutes. And so it was a long time. But they were willing to stand there and hold up his hands for however long it took. And it's got to be the same. We've got to have that same mindset spiritually, that we're going to stand there and hold each other up in prayer, however long it takes, until God brings about the victory. Because just as Moses and Joshua, they got the victory that day, as our sister played on the piano this morning, I know a man who can. We have a friend who can do anything. He can keep us in the bad times, in the good times, and he's there for us. We just have to keep holding on until he brings about the victory. Let's all stand this morning. And I'm going to ask Brother Albright if you would dismiss us in prayer.